The Gospel of John describes several appearances of the risen Lord. And if we've been looking closely at the Gospel of John, we'll know that the first appearance was to Mary Magdalene on the morning of the resurrection of Jesus. Then Jesus appeared the evening of that first day to the disciples without Thomas. And 7 days later, he appeared again to the disciples, but this time with Thomas. And now Jesus appears to the 7 disciples named in the gospel reading for today, as he shows up where they were fishing by the Sea of Tiberias. We understand from several sources that the disciples just did not recognize Jesus. Again and again and again. But he kept on showing up. Perhaps to remind them of his promise to rise from the dead. Perhaps to convince them about who he is. And this time around, when he showed up, he also commissioned Peter for the work that Peter was about to begin. We are told that the 7 disciples had gone fishing. And if we remember the context of the resurrection, we know that many of the disciples were a bit discouraged because, after all, they had put all of their energy into serving their leader. And now their leader was gone. So they had gone back fishing to what they knew. And that's something that we as human beings tend to do. Right? We get back into our comfort zone. That's what they knew, how to fish. So that's what they decided to do. But we are also told that on that night, they did not catch a single fish. So they believed that they had toiled in vain. However, as daybreak approached, Jesus stood on the beach. And once more, the disciples did not know who he was. And that's not an unfamiliar story of the resurrection, because you would recall that Mary did not recognize Jesus in the garden on the day of his resurrection. But Jesus said to them, "Children, friends, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." But then our Lord instructed them to cast their net on the right side of the boat for the harvest of fish, a gift from God who blessed their efforts. They placed their trust in him, and we too can experience abundant blessings when God intervenes on our behalf. It would appear that up to this point, only John initially recognized Jesus. So he told Peter that it was, in fact, the Lord. Peter responded quickly and swam to meet Jesus, leaving the net and the boat for the other disciples to bring ashore, where the familiar meal of fish and bread was being prepared. We also heard that when Jesus invited them to bring some of the fish that they had caught, Peter brought 153 large fish. Now you might be wondering, as many readers have done, why was it necessary for John to be so specific with the number of fish? Well, one possible explanation is that fishermen traditionally counted their fish, especially when they had to divide the catch fairly among themselves. In this case, there were 7 fishermen. I have some indirect experience with fishing, and I will not stand here before you and boast that I've caught 150 pound whatever. I will not even say that I caught a 2 pound whatever. But my great uncle was a fisherman, and I recall that he counted his fish every single day. Not only by size, but by type. So the groupers will be separated from the snappers, etc., etc., etc. Some will be sold because he earned a living as a fisherman. But the best fish, always kept for the household, his household and members of the family. He also did something which many fishermen do. Throw some back in to the water. And the little ones were generally kept for what? For the bait for the next day. Yes, they had their protocols, and many persons involved in the fishing industry will let you know that. Nevertheless, despite references to numbers, what's important is that we could get distracted by that, because the critical issue here is that the catch was abundant. The catch was abundant. We know from Scripture that John has pointed out God's generosity elsewhere in the Gospel. For instance, at the wedding of Cana, the wine that was left over after everyone had had enough, the feeding of the 5,000, and these are two well-known examples that come to mind, showing the abundance of God's gifts. In your lives and in my life, we can probably point to many situations of God's blessings and God's abundance. We know that when the meal was ready, Jesus then invited the 7 to have breakfast with him. And in that familiar setting of breaking bread together, they knew that it was the Lord. So what can we learn from Jesus' appearance to the 7 disciples? I want to recommend 3 points for your consideration today. First of all, what appears initially as failure could be just a temporary setback and perhaps a chance for us to learn and to grow. Our empty nets, my friends, opens an opportunity for us to receive God's blessings. And just as God filled the nets of the disciples with a large quantity of fish. So let us be open. Let us be ready for God's blessings. Secondly, we serve a God of abundance. So let us trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples followed the instruction of Jesus to cast their net on the right side of the boat. Now, if you attended our Bible study reflection on Wednesday night, you'd recall that we had quite a bit of conversation about the right side. And so we must carefully discern what is the right side for us. Thirdly, God is always with us. Unlike the disciples who did not recognize Jesus, we must be open to the ways in which our Lord appears in unforeseen circumstances and through others. But today, as we look at the gospel reading, we recognize that Jesus' meeting with the 7 disciples set the scene for a very important conversation with Peter. Peter, the one who had denied him 3 times, and perhaps felt completely worthless as a disciple of Christ at that time. So it is possible that Peter needed a little encouragement, just as we need a little encouragement every now and again when we go through some of the disappointments, perhaps the distractions of our Christian journey. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus had a separate conversation with Peter, during which he affirmed his commitment to following and serving Christ. There might have been some doubt about the strength of Peter's faith. And we are no different, aren't we? For we all have some of the traits of Peter, don't we? However, we know that God is in control no matter what is happening to us at this time in our lives. We notice that Jesus is asking Peter to show love for him by loving his sheep, the ones that Jesus cared for, the marginalized, those in need, and those who are vulnerable. And Jesus is asking Peter to care for them in the same way as Jesus has loved them. We hear from the gospel reading for today that Jesus reinstated Peter, but at the same time, he predicted the way Peter would die as a reminder of the cost of a disciple's love and obedience. We know that Peter had repented, and now Jesus is asking him to commit his life to serving God. So as I close this morning, we are reminded that the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus remind us that we must learn to recognize our risen Lord among us. And in today's reading from St. John, Peter confirms his love for Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. And Jesus encourages Peter to show his love through service and eventually through his willingness to die for his beliefs. We've had a brief glimpse of Peter's journey to faith and commitment. As one of the original disciples who had followed Jesus. And like Peter, Jesus is asking us. Jesus is asking you. Jesus is asking me to be faithful. And like Peter, Jesus is giving us, giving you and giving me, the chance to follow him in loving, in caring for, and for feeding those in need as we spread the Easter message of hope. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.